B-Pod Studios.
Elgin. I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Mel. Nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 3:03 in the afternoon. T-minus 56 minutes and change until NFL free agency officially begins. You'll hear breaking news here first on Felger and Maz, discussing it all day long. Good question by Maz. What is it?
Okay, so whenever the Patriots dynasty ends, and I know.
This is your fatal flaw.
This is very negative thinking.
Nope.
I know,
well,
I know that.
Stupid.
Because we all know it's going to go on forever, that McDaniels will be Belichick.
No, it's the system.
Of course. Yeah,
because as long as they keep bringing guys back like Brandon Bolden, they've got it over the league.
This is
I've heard this all day. This is why they win championships, their system.
But I'm asking people to play along and actually, you know, trying to think of the possibility that it may actually end.
You want me to imagine some sort of fantasy impossible world that's never going to happen?
Correct. That
okay,
someday
fine,
that Tom will actually
let's
age.
Play.
And
No. It's not about that. It's about bringing back the Brandon Boldens. That's
okay.
Why they win.
So whenever the Patriots dynasty ends, whenever that is.
Hypothetically speaking.
Make-believe.
Okay, make-believe. Fantasy land. Which NFL team is best positioned to replace them? Which team out there, other than the Patriots, is in the best position to become the next Patriots? Which team is out there that is in the best spot to do that?
Answer your own question.
Right now, believe it or not, I think it's the Cleveland Browns. And to me, it's probably three or four teams that are really worthy of the discussion here, and I'm sure we'll touch on all of them. But I look at Cleveland and I say, oh, man, I got a quarterback that looks like he can play and he's got some guts, got some grit, some intangibles that go along with it. They've drafted a kid in the secondary in that Denzel Ward. I think he was a top five pick.
Yeah, number four overall.
Yeah. Okay, at left corner, who is a dynamite player. They just brought in Richardson on the defensive line. They got weapons.
Myles Garrett, don't forget him.
Don't forget Kareem Hunt.
Right.
Like, we forget about him, too.
Okay, we'll find out how much time he misses. He's going to get suspended. But.
So the coach is a huge X factor. Huge. And could completely screw up the whole thing. But I think the young talent on that team is so good that there are going to be coaches knocking down the door to go there. And they'll ultimately find the coach. Cleveland right now, to me, is a very, very appealing situation.
Yeah, to me, I think that's the answer. I mean, there's a lot of young talent on both sides of the ball. You just ran through some of the names. And if you take the name and the history, meaning the Cleveland Browns, out of the equation, I mean, that's the clear answer. It's Freddie Kitchens that's the big question mark. Like, if you had Pete Carroll there or even Tom Coughlin, I would think you have a legitimate threat going into next year. But that guy, a rookie head coach, being thrown into that situation with a lot of big egos, including Baker Mayfield, I don't know. Like, on paper, they look nasty, but that could blow up.
Who's next? Fantasyland. Fantasyland that's never going to exist, but if the Patriots dynasty ends, which it never will, so we're asking you to play make-believe. Who's next? Browns are number one. Give me 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, so number two to me gets close. Kansas City's an easy one because of Mahomes. Okay, and they got a coach as a coordinator. They brought in a guy to play safety. Their defense needs work. But Kansas City's got the quarterback. I think we can all agree on that. Right there with them, and this is one that I think a lot of people are going to overlook, is Indy. Indy turned a big corner last year. And Luck is still young. They look like they have a coach that has a clue. They've improved the defense. Like, to me, Indianapolis and Kansas City, we are right there. And so I lean a little more to Cleveland right now because I think they got that corner. And Denzel Ward, to me, is a big piece. That's a huge one. But the next two, you know, tied at two for me are Kansas City and Indianapolis.
I would also throw in the Chicago Bears, with the weak link being the most important position, unfortunately, with Trubisky. But maybe they can coach that kid up, or maybe just because the defense is so damn good. And I know that's not the world we live in the NFL anymore, but I don't know. Patriots did just hold the Rams to 3 points in the Super Bowl. Maybe they get there. They're going a deep run. That kid can still play within himself, not make mistakes. I think the Bears could be a threat here in the next few years, too.
Okay, give me anyone else that came across your radar.
Jets.
Because of the quarterback.
Jets. They got a high pick at quarterback. They got a coach who, in theory, and again, in theory, Greg Bedard, is a quarterback whisperer. They went out and got him a slot receiver. The defense made strides last year. The kid Adams that plays safety, he's dynamite. He had a terrific player, and they had another kid at linebacker. I can't remember his name. I want to say he's number 58, who I watched in the Lions game and stuck out to me. I thought was a really good player. They just added C.J. Mosley on top of it. Still have Williams on the defensive line like it, and Le'Veon Bell in the backfield now. It feels to me like the Jets might have a little something going on there. I keep an eye on the Jets. Further down, Houston, to a degree. I don't love the quarterback, though. I have questions about Deshaun Watson, and I don't like Trubisky, Murray.
They're going to fire the idiot coach.
And another one, and I don't know if this qualifies to you, but I think the quarterback's still young enough that you have to take him seriously, is Seattle. I don't eliminate Seattle yet either. And obviously, San Francisco. Like, I look at the Niners.
Yeah, C.J. Beathard is going to end up, he looks like he could be a pretty good quarterback there.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not quitting on Garoppolo, so I'm going to warn you right now. If you're out there driving in your car and you want me to shut up about Garoppolo, week one next year, I'm wearing my helmet and my jersey on the show.
I want you to wear the football pants and a jockstrap, too.
Fine, I'm in.
So here's where you're all missing.
My Jimmy G jockstrap.
Pretending that anyone else has a chance is stupid. But I will say this. If anyone does, it's going to come from the players. It's about the players. Because you can look at rosters across the league and say, this team is building something, that team is building something, this team has talent, that team has some potential. A lot of places you can go around, and you just did. You just did. Some nice-looking rosters being built across the league.
And, Mike, a lot of them are in the AFC.
Okay. The brain drain, the front office slash sideline gap is still so freaking epic. And I'm not being sarcastic now. And you pointed it out. That Browns roster, talk about a coming freight train. Freddie Kitchens?
I know, it's scary.
Freddie Kitchens is who you give that to?
He meow. Was the running backs coach.
He's never even been a coordinator. Has he even been a quarterback coach?
No, he was a quarterback at Alabama when he was young.
Freddie Kitchens. The kitten. Think of that.
That's Freddy a lot. Pussycat. That is a lot on this guy's
okay.
plate now.
Andy Reid, who can coach a quarterback in a passing game. I'll give him that. He can't do anything else. I'm sorry. He is freaking anemic at anything else. He can coach a quarterback and scheme a passing game. I'll give him that.
There's way worse than him.
Tremendous offensive. And that's scary.
He's only half stupid.
And that's scary. That's my point. This is my point. That Andy Reid in this day and age is halfway decent. In fact, might be considered elite. And he is half what Bill Belichick is when it comes to actually coaching the entire football team for 60 minutes. He's nowhere close. Indy, we'll see on Frank Reich. We'll see. Okay, that's sort of an unknown. The Bears guy I like, but long way to go. The Jets, I'm sorry. Heaven and earth have to move before I consider them to be sound decision makers, consistent, sound decision makers. They've had talented rosters before, and they gave you a good run when they did have talent. That was all about the players. And I don't know how much to give Rex or Mike Tannenbaum, but they compiled some talent there for a couple of years, and that gave you a go. But for the long term, no shot.
I mean, Rex could coach defense at least when he was there.
Houston, I don't trust that.
I don't trust either one, the coach or the quarterback.
So I'm telling you, if there is going to be a next, and if there is going to be a team that challenges you, and I don't think it's going to happen, because everyone else is stupid. But if there is, it's going to come from the players. It's going to be about the players. There's going to be, you know, just to pick a team, Cleveland's going to have so much freaking talent and speed and athleticism that the Dingleberry coach can't screw it up. They're just going to roll the footballs out, and that's how it's going to happen. There's not going to be another team. The coaching in that league is so putrid. The coaching and the decision-making is so effing bad, because we saw the next big thing. We saw the next big thing, and I think it's legit. I thought it was legit. Sean McVay seemed to do everything right, and he got into a spot and was completely, utterly exposed.
He got pantsed.
Oh, he did. He really did.
And that's the second. That's the number two guy. That's the second best. That's the next best thing. That's it. That's the best the league has to offer.
Even before kickoff, he looked meek.
Basically, the best the league had to offer, crapped his pants meeting Bill Belichick before the game,
right,
and then did nothing during the game to help his team. Nothing. Zero. The only thing they did well was on defense, and he handed that over to the old coot on the sidelines in Wade Phillips. That Rams offense, they had 2 weeks to prepare for that, all season to ramp up for that game, and he did absolutely nothing except Shart himself meeting Bill Belichick before the kickoff.
No, no, he got absolutely stunned by the fact that the Patriots were playing zone. There's a revolutionary concept that instead of actually being on a man, you defend an area of the field.
So I'm with you on Cleveland. I mean, what's not to like about what they're building there on the roster?
Oh my gosh, they have so much talent.
How do you turn that over to the fat nobody running back coach?
See, this is why, to me, like, oh God, they should have knocked down the door for Saban. They should have knocked down the door. They should have given Saban anything he wanted.
Or Coughlin would be a perfect guy to go in there for a couple of years, get everyone on schedule, on time, acting like professionals. He's not going to be there forever, but instill a program and an ethic, and like that would have been a guy. That would have been a guy.
Totally. Someone with some cachet.
Or even, you know, and I don't like this coach, but like even Mike McCarthy, who's been a coach in the league and has won, and I think if Mike McCarthy has so much talent, he wouldn't screw it up. He just let it happen. I mean, so Freddie Kitchens
went from the running backs coach to interim OC to head coach of this program. It's unbelievable.
I'm telling you, they're loaded. They are freaking loaded. But the Browns.
But what chance do they have?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we all get surprised and this guy actually has half a clue. Maybe. Okay. I don't know.
But the criminal owner is the one that's made that call, the guy that has screwed up everything for that. I mean, so we can go ownership too. I mean, maybe Indy has the right coach, but what's the doofus upstairs going to do with them?
I don't know.
And so, I mean, we can go there. The Bears might have picked the right coach, but the ownership there, I mean, what's that?
All I'm telling you is that I'm leaning toward taking the field in the AFC.
Oh, I tried that already. That's for
no, 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 but I'm leaning that way now. I'm telling you, there are some good teams out there now. Between, like, and teams that are, you know, you could look at and say, you know, they got a little something going there.
Okay.
I mean, Kansas City does, Indy does. Again, Cleveland, even the Jets to a degree.
No, but you know what's going to happen.
But that's on paper, man.
Yeah, we're going to get down to a playoff game. They're going to be leading. Some guy's going to line up offsides when you throw an interception. Then you're going to win the coin toss.
Yeah,
so
don't
waste your time.
And you know what you do with paper, Murray.
So your thoughts on that. What's going on in NFL free agency? T-minus 44 minutes and change until they drop the ball. We have the latest right here on Felger and Maz. To your calls. And what the hell's going on with Gronkowski? There was a really interesting report on NFL Network. We'll get to that, and then I promise your calls next.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5.
The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think Gronk's going to take a break for a while. I don't think he's going to...
Like a whole while?
I don't think he's initially going to start off and come back. I think he's going to figure it out. And I think later on, and this is just my own assessment, later on deep in the season, he could possibly come back and play.
I want to make sure I'm clear with what you're saying. You're saying that you don't expect Rob Gronkowski to go to camp?
No, I don't think he's going to play. I think he's going to start off the season by being retired. And I think he's going to get the itch. I think he's going to be in great shape. And he's going to probably have that feeling that, hey, I want to come back.
So I heard that last night, not on NFL Network, on NBC Sports Boston. T-minus 39 minutes now till the ball drops for free agency. Got you covered with the latest. But I heard that last night on NBC Sports Boston. And I went, whoa, what? Willie McGinnis, that was pretty detailed. And that's a take I had not heard from someone in the circle, meaning, you know, callers or, you know, media people like us thrown against the wall. Maybe someone has suggested that. But someone like Willie, who's actually tapped in, says, no, he's going to retire, and then he's going to regret, and he's going to come back in the middle of the year.
And even though he says, I haven't talked to Gronk, he's still in the circle. He has ties with Brady. He has ties with Alex Guerrero.
How do you come up with that as an NFL Network guy and go with it like that unless you've heard that? And he talks to people who know. So That ain't from the janitor. So I went, wow, that, because I think he's coming back. I thought he was coming back, but maybe not. And then, so Willie's sort of projecting, like he's saying right now that he's not in a football place. He's not going to be there for camp. He's going to retire, but I bet he'll regret it and change his mind at the end. So, like, you know, that second piece is even sort of a projection there. But he thinks he's retired. Does that change your mind on what you think of this?
No, because I've been leaning toward him retiring early. You know, there have been stages here where I've tilted back and said, oh, sounds like maybe he's going to come back. But from the beginning, my gut was, it's just too hard for him to play a whole season now. It's too hard.
Yeah.
So this scenario, though, I have to say, typically I would say, dude, one or the other. Foot in or foot out. That's it. One or the other. With him, I'll make an exception. If that's what he wants to do, like if they've even discussed that with him, I would let him do it. I just think his value is so high in those postseason games that, you know what, if it means that he plays, I don't know, the final month, 2 months of the regular season.
You take it.
Seriously, I would.
I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, look how he produced in the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. Him with rest, you still, you know, he can still be a weapon. But if I'm him, I thought he would be done. His job description's kind of changed. He only ended up with 3 touchdowns last year. He's more blocker than he is, you know, old school Gronk, the weapon in the red zone. So yeah, I would think he would walk, especially with all the injuries he's piled up. But I think that there's a missing piece from McGinnis in that, and him talking about it is, I think his mind would be changed if it came down to the money. Like, if they gave him a new deal and they gave him a mountain of money, and he would suck it up. He would go to camp. He would show up.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
what, I mean, what if this is what I still think this hinges on.
What if they basically say that we'll pay you $500,000 a game? You know, and that's a rough number.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we'll pay you $500,000 a game.
What, the equivalent of $8 million a year.
Right. And
well,
counting postseason.
Well, whatever he's due to make, I thought it was 9, but let's just call it 8. Whatever he was due to make, say, you'll make, given how many games you play.
Right.
In other words, divide it by 16, 17, and that's what your salary will be.
Right. And we will even extend that into the postseason so you really make more.
There you go.
Because, you know, we think you're that valuable. So if you play a postseason game, we'll give you $500,000. And remember, if they do it the way they've been doing it, he'll get a week off between games.
Oh, that's guaranteed.
Right?
Oh, so they're getting the bye.
Right. I know. Silly me.
I'm two buys.
You know, I'm just trying to think the whole picture through. So the value there, I would do it if I were them.
All right. So there's the Gronkowski thing. To your phones on everything. You've been waiting patiently. Cam and Taunton, who's the next big thing in the NFL?
Mike, unfortunately, the Patriots gave these guys a lot of ammo because they beat the team that was built via free agency and trading draft picks in the Super Bowl. Now everyone's going to say how stupid that is. So, but the next big team, I mean, I think the Browns are a legitimate threat this year. Because, I mean, the talent on that team now, I think Vegas got it right. They are the third best team in the AFC behind the Patriots and the Chiefs. And the Chiefs just let 2 of their best defensive players go. And their coach is going to screw it up at the end of every game like he always does. I would not be surprised if you see the Browns in here for the AFC championship game. I really wouldn't be.
Okay, Browns are a hot team. They should be. It's a hell of a roster. How do you give that to that coach? How is that the guy? Oh, it's just staggering.
It's unbelievable.
It's funny, the next big thing, no one mentioned the Rams. Are you all done on the Rams?
The quarterback.
Yeah, I think Goff sucks.
All done.
Yeah, it's the quarterback. The quarterback's the guy I don't believe in. I mean, that's a problem. And, you know, so I just don't. I think there's a major hole there.
Scott in New Hampshire, what do you got for me? Hello, Scott. Okay, babe, call us back. You know the number. Billy in Rhode Island. What do you got, Bill?
How you doing? Quick. I'll be really quick. Maz, yesterday you were talking about Edelman. He's making $2 million. He needs incentives. They'll probably give him incentives. I got a great incentive for him. Why don't they find somebody that can give him a lifetime membership with massages in Florida? That's number one. But they got to know somebody first. The second thing is, where is the quarterback? Where is the next quarterback for the Patriots? Where is he coming from?
I'm with you, Billy. Still number one on my list. Number one need, quarterback. Let's start that clock going on the next guy. Let's start it.
Oh, you mean you're not buying into Eddie Etling?
Nope.
By the way, I meant to tell you this, too, and I don't remember if I put it in the email the other day, too. Did you catch Jim McBride over the weekend?
I did, and you did put it in the email. Go ahead.
Okay. Like, talk about...
Well, hold on. Tell people what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm about to do that. So I was reading Jim McBride over the weekend. And McBride made a reference to Danny Etling making significant strides. And, you know, the Patriots seem to have a great deal of faith in him, blah, 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 blah. And right then and there, I went, bull crap, Bull crap, trade bait. Absolute trade bait. They're looking to move Danny Etling because they want to get the next guy. This was Mike Mayock all over again raving about Ryan Mallett popping at practice and the arm talent and everything else. All of that. As soon as I read it, I went, McBride took the cheese. He took the cheese. The Patriot,
think it's possible the Pats actually see something in Danny Etling?
Nope.
Why not?
Because I think that it is their way of trying to get some form in a trade.
Or could it be their way of saying, we're not doing anything because we have the next guy. And we're going to lighten the load of the criticism for not addressing the quarterback thing because we think this guy has a chance.
Okay, so no, I don't believe that. I also think that there is a chance that they are giving everyone, even if they're not going to trade Etling, because I don't know what they could get for a seventh-round pick, right? They're giving everyone the appearance that they're not interested in a quarterback, and then they'll grab one in the second round when everyone else is snoozing.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. Because, again, as we are discussing today, everyone else is stupid.
No question.
Just a question of how stupid.
Just degrees of stupid. Like, for example, even though you filled the air with your farts on Cordell Patterson all season long, how valuable this guy was, what a great running back option that he was when he filled in there, how smart the Patriots were to have this player, you defended this player to the nth degree. Now the Patriots have let him go. Are the Patriots dumb? Why am I even asking that question? But I think that you would, if you liked the player, you would criticize the team for letting him go. But now I know that because the Pats are smart for letting him go. Even though you love the player, they're smart. How dumb are the Bears? Completely effing stupid, A. B, just generically kind of stupid. Or C, not complete stupid effing morons, but just sort of half moronic, small m.
A,
only degrees of stupid. Joey in Hampton. Go ahead, Joey.
Hi, Michael. I disagree with you. I think Cordell Patterson was a very good player for the Patriots. He did everything for them. I don't know if I would have gave him, you know, 2 years, $10 million.
It was only five guaranteed, Joey. Do you think the Patriots should have re-signed him?
Of course you wouldn't.
I think they should have re-signed him because we don't have a punt returner now, and we need help at wide receiver. I don't know if they have enough money to bring Golden Tate here or any other receivers. Who do you guys think they're going to bring in?
Okay, Joey, you're kind of questioning the Patriots there, which I don't know if you want to do that, man.
If I were you, I'd stay in your house. You're about to be struck by lightning.
I would not question this team. Okay, I would not do that. I'm certainly not going to do that anymore. Who are they going to have return punts?
Jules.
Could I give two poops about that?
No, exactly. Fair catch and give the ball to Brady.
See you
in the end zone.
Put your hand up in the air. Most of the time, you can let it hit the ground and roll out of bounds. If you have to catch it, just catch it and don't move. Okay, and I would pay that guy $550,000 on a second year minimum, is what I would do. But they're gonna get they'll have ideas. That's important to them, and that's why they're smart and I'm stupid.
Yeah, Edelman to return them in the playoffs, and if you have to have one during a game, put a Honey Nut Barrios back there.
Peter in Salisbury, go ahead, Peter, on Odell Beckham. Your thoughts on that trade?
I am literally making hors d'oeuvres for a party tonight at my house to get rid of Odell Beckham. I am so happy. Driving to work, middle of the night, found out he was gone.
You a Giants fan, obviously?
Absolutely. And let me tell you something about Cleveland, Kareem Hunt, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham. Oh, my God. That is a train wreck waiting to happen.
And the only guy there to keep them all in line is Freddie Kitchens. Seriously, the running back coach. Like, that is
terrifying.
The issue with the league is the brain power. Not the talent. There's a lot of talented guys out there, as you're seeing. How many talented guys are just moving across the league? There's so much talent there on the field. The talent on the sidelines and upstairs, oh boy.
And it's amazing. What's amazing about it, too, is the fact that there were good candidates on the market for coaches this offseason. McCarthy was out there, McDaniels was out there, and they went with Freddie freaking Kitchens.
Freddie Kitchens.
Well, he was handpicked by Baker Mayfield, so he's comfortable with him. And this is where you can see that there'd be a problem. Not only is he a rookie head coach who's never been in this situation, who's he going to side with if there's some kind of issue that comes up between Odell Beckham Jr. and Baker Mayfield? Who do you think?
Okay. Meanwhile, we asked this question last week. How do you possibly fake your height? Because apparently Kyler Murray had scouts wondering if he faked his height at the combine, which still blows me away. That you're basically naked in bare feet in your underwear, full of an auditorium full of scouts, and somehow can fake your height. Because at the time, a scout said, it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't get measured at his pro day, and then you'll know that something's up. Well, Kyler Murray's pro day was today, and he had a chance to be measured. We'll tell you what he did, what happened, and what that means after Murray's update. The very latest in free agency across the league comes your way right here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I did talk to a scout last night. I think that his height was inflated. Maybe it's the tinfoil hat theory. I just don't see it. If he refuses to measure at the pro day, that will be telling.
I heard that last week from Dan Patrick and spat out my coffee. I wasn't drinking any Portnoy. He inflated his height? And it turns out I'm just stupid because there's ways to inflate your height. Going traction. Beetle was describing things to me that chiropractors have done to him that straighten out your spine, lengthen your spine. And I'm not talking like growing a couple feet, but and we got deluged, of course, by people telling us how you can sort of lengthen your spine a little bit. What was it called, Maz? Do you remember what it was called? The one tactic that we got more than any other?
Well, it's the opposite of spinal compression. I don't know. Remember what the exact term was? But so you're onto the right thing.
You can have certain treatments by a chiropractor that'll lengthen your spine for a time. It goes back like an accordion. I mean, it goes back, but for a time you can sort of lengthen it out, or you hang backwards on an exercise ball, like on your back. Or you hang upside down like a bat for long enough. I mean, I don't know. It blew me away. Like, how do you fake your height? Because, again, how you're measured here at the Combine, it's not like you're in some room by yourself. And no, you're in an auditorium in front of 30 scouts in your underwear and bare feet. Your height is your height. And then we had other fakakta things like sumo wrestlers in Japan have to be a certain height. So they've been known to put celluloid implants, like fake boobs, on top of their head or in their feet.
Yeah.
To give them an extra half inch or whatever they need.
Little boost.
It was just like, wow. So could Kyler Murray have been doing any of this? And we're going to show a picture here on NBC Sports Boston of him standing next to Tua. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the full name. The quarterback in Alabama. And who's the fellow on the left? Do we know?
I don't know.
Is that not, it's not.
Could be. Is that the guy from Ohio State?
I was just going to say the Ohio State quarterback. Forget his name. But Wayne at the
Haskins.
Heisman.
Haskins, yeah.
Haskins. So whatever. Tua is 6'1". Kyler Murray in the middle there, when he measured at the combine, was 5'10 and an eighth. And he ain't even close to Tua. So scout said, there's some funny business going on here. And if he doesn't measure at his pro day, we'll know it. Today was his pro day and he didn't measure. He wouldn't be measured. He faked his height.
I think so, too.
He faked his height.
I think there was something shady going on there.
Oh, my God. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
He hung upside down like a bat for 60 days before the combine to measure over 5'10", and now he's folded right back up.
Well, there's info that's been making its way around Twitter in the last hour and a half. This Dan Shunka, he's a former scout with the Eagles, Redskins, and Chiefs. He apparently did some podcast in the last day or so, and he was told that Kyler Murray was measured from the top of his hair.
Oh, I told you this, 6'4 with the afro.
Not his scalp, thus 5'10", which confirms the Dan Patrick report that he was measured wrong at the combine.
Well, what moron measures you from the top of your afro?
Well, somebody got paid off.
Yeah, somebody got paid off.
How do you get paid out? That's why you go measure at the combine, because it's the most transparent thing possible. You can't fake that.
You find out who's doing the measuring in advance, and you pay them off.
Yeah, and you say, listen, that tape measure that you're using, or whatever it is.
Start from the hair, not from the head.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you press down on his head, don't press down all the way.
So how many, can you project how many inches we're talking there with his hairdo? Take a look at the picture again.
Yeah, maybe 5'10-ish, 5'9".
Well, no, he measured 5'10".
The hair?
The hair is like at least a half inch.
Yeah, with the
more than that.
There's a half inch of hair there.
Oh, yeah. He's got 2 or 3 inches of hair. I'm telling you, I'm guessing they didn't push down all the way.
Oh, that's right. You gotta mat that thing down.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I got to try this.
you have no shot. You're going to be a true height there, Maz.
Well, okay. I mean, I might be able to get myself some sort of a device.
Fake boobs on top of your forehead. But anyway, this fascinates me. So he faked his height, or or that the guy measuring him wouldn't put the lever all the way down on top of his dome. That just sounds asinine to me, because with this guy, every eighth of an inch really matters. I mean, I'm a shortest when it comes to my quarterbacks. I like him tall. And Russell Wilson is about, boy, the smallest I want to go. And if you're going to be that small, you got to be Russell Wilson. I mean, you got to be special. And I think Russell Wilson is special in a lot of ways. But he's short. I mean, if he were 6'4 and had all those special intangibles, he'd be one of the best in the league. You know, the height does hold him back, but he's got all those other qualities that help him. So Kyler Murray, he was not really 5'10. He ain't really 5'10, because if he was confident in his height, he would allow them to measure him again, and he didn't today.
I'll tell you what, I'd be willing to bet he might not be 5'9.
I swear, if you're saying they put it at the top of his hairline, like, give me a, you got to be kidding me. How dumb is that?
When you watch him on you know, in video.
Did Tyquan Underwood measure 7 feet? Like, seriously, is that how they measure there at the combine? What sort of idiot?
Odell Beckham 6'7.
What sort of idiot puts it at the top of your hair? Well, you get a box top or whatever, you know, like, you could screw around with that all day long. Idiots. Yeah, everyone is stupid in football, huh? Everyone except for you.
I'm telling you, though, like, take the actual process of measuring the guy. When you watch him, he's tiny.
He plays small. Well, I mean, he just feels small.
That's
there.
What I mean. He's tiny. When you watch him on the screen, I don't care, because if they all cheat on their height, linemen, whatever else, they add a half inch or whatever. I don't know. I'm telling you, relative to everyone else, he's tiny.
Okay.
He's little. The Cardinals, I'm eager to see how this goes now, because the Cardinals, if they pick him, are going to have Dustin Pedroia playing quarterback for him next year, for crying out loud.
Okay, he didn't throw at the combine. He threw today. And I have a hard time when these guys are in shorts telling what's a good workout and what's not, when there's no resistance. It's just a game of catch. But Zoe knows. And Zoe was watching Kyler Murray's pro day today and said he sucked. Said he sucked. First of all, he was sweating like profusely, like Albert Brooks in broadcast news. Like, he was either nervous or out of shape or something. He was sweating profusely. He looked heavy, Zoe said, and he was late and high with most of his throws. And again, there was no defense. It was just him throwing patterns to guys in shorts. I don't know how Zoe knows, but he knows. The height thing to me, wow. So does that change the thing with the Cardinals trading Rosen? Does that change anything with Kyler Murray today? And I wonder about that, because I think you might be in the market for Josh Rosen. And all that can happen starting in 9 minutes. Sorry, 14 minutes. 14 minutes. T-minus 14 minutes until NFL free agency. I'm sticking with it. I think after 4, we're going to get a Patriots move. A one that's worth discussing. Not another special teamer, an actual real player. Because I just have a feeling about that. And you know how that goes. So we'll discuss that. We're playing levels of stupid, because everyone across the league is stupid. Every move that's made today, not yours, are stupid. It's just a level. We continue that game. Who's the next team? We continue that game as well. All of it with your calls, long commercial-free segment, and the free agent deadline next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
Hey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
T-minus 8 minutes. Could have this totally wrong. I usually do. But I think there's been a sort of... The information flow has sort of dried up the last couple hours, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
There's been less breaking news. Schefter hasn't tweeted, and I'm the bad guy to judge, but when's the last Schefter tweet?
About an hour ago.
I was going to say, mine says 59 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's probably the Emmanuel Ogba one.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. That's what, just going at from the outside, not even on Twitter, just going to his web Twitter page, 59 minutes ago, Browns are shopping former defensive end Emmanuel Ogba. So that leads me to believe that the reporters are now playing along with what the league wants you to do, sort of like NBA draft night or NFL draft night, where they tell you to embargo the information, and then it comes at 4 o'clock. And so I think at 4 o'clock, we're going to get a nice little deluge of news, a lot of which we already know, things that can't be announced until 4. I'm not even talking about that. But I think we'll get a little round of fresh news starting at 4 o'clock. And you'll hear it here first. We'll break in and give you the very latest as it comes across starting at 4. That's just what I think. And I think the Pats could be involved in it. I think the Pats could be involved in that first wave.
I mean, it makes sense. If you're the league, like at some point, aren't you reaching out to people and going, guys, can you slow down?
Yeah.
The official start is on Wednesday.
Right. They have shows to promote. They've got ratings to get. It's, you know, the 4 o'clock's 4 o'clock. Let's not shoot all our bullets there at 3 o'clock. So that's just a guess. I don't know. We'll see. And I do think the Pats are going to be on something, and I would focus on the players you've heard nothing about. You've heard nothing about Golden Tate being linked anywhere. And I said this about Earl Thomas. I wanted him. He wasn't linked anywhere until he was, and then he was gone this morning. But Golden Tate's been linked nowhere, which sort of has a whiff of the Patriots, keeping it, you know, in-house and under wraps. Or, you know, and I'm not telling you I want all these guys, but we've heard nothing about Clay Matthews. We've heard nothing about Justin Houston. We've heard nothing about Golden Tate. We've heard nothing about a couple of these guys, and I wouldn't be surprised. And this includes trades now. Trades can happen starting at 4 o'clock, officially. They can be agreed on before 4 o'clock, like the Foles thing, but it can't happen officially till 4. So we'll see if anything comes your Patriots way starting at 4 o'clock. In the meantime, back to your phones. Chad in Peabody on the Antonio Brown Steelers situation. Hi, Chad.
Yeah, give me 60 seconds to talk about the dumpster fire that is my team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, so you have Le'Veon Bell was rumored to want quarterback money, and he ends up taking less money than Pittsburgh offered him. You have Antonio Brown that blows up the Buffalo deal, and it's clear that Pittsburgh wasn't considering every team. They ruled out the Browns, and to add insult to injury, they end up getting a receiver in Cleveland that's probably just as good that you're going to have to face now every twice a year. And then you have, they just recently, it was announced that they're paying Ryan Shazier his 2019 contract. A lot of good that's going to do them on the field this year. So, yeah.
Wait a minute. You're not going to give them grief for that, are you?
No, they're a nice team. It's a feel-good story, but it doesn't help them on the field, Maz.
Chad, it's a good call. You have another stupid team. You have another stupid team. They're near the top of my stupid rankings today with the way they handled the Antonio Brown thing. You know, I'll give the Giants credit for keeping it close to their vest and creating a market by saying, we're not trading him, we're not trading him, we're not trading him, we're not trading Beckham, we're not trading him. We didn't sign him to trade him. And then, you know, that builds up the market. It does. The Steelers did just the opposite. Yep, windows open. And then they got dumber by probably saying to themselves, well, we're not going to trade him in the division to the Browns. I hate when teams do that. I think that's so stupid. So stupid. If the Browns are willing to offer you a first-round pick, but you instead get a third and a fifth because you want them out of your division, why? Why? You should do what's best for your team, building your team, and then worry about beating him later. Like, that is such a PR-driven sort of thing. I hate when teams do that. And I think it's, I don't know, I think it's butting your nose to spite your face. Get the best return.
I mean, it does. It makes no sense. Like, you're going to get less back because, what, you're afraid of playing against them?
Yeah, it's a PR thing.
Right. And so if you're afraid of playing against them, then what are you trading them for? Like, you know, to me, that one sort of becomes one vicious circle. I'm sorry. Listen, the Steelers are dumb. Okay, again, to me, Pittsburgh, capital of Moronica. Capital. But I'm just not putting the Ryan Shazier thing on the list.
Yeah, you know, me neither.
I mean, $500,000 they're going to pay the guy? That's the right thing to do.
That's doing the right thing. Pete in Delaware on Beckham to the Browns. Yes, Pete.
This is the happiest day I've had in a long time as a Giants fan. I am thrilled. And the fact that they were able to get the return they got, I cannot understand why any Giants fan or anybody would criticize it. Because after what happened with Antonio Brown, I thought we were completely screwed and couldn't get rid of him. So for me, it is a great day. And finally, someone as a Giant made a decision that will for the future and not for continuing losing.
I sort of agree with all that. I think in a vacuum, their move of Beckham was a good move. And they at least got close to commensurate return because of the way they played it. When you can, you know, they got more than Cooper got. They got more than certainly Antonio Brown got. And they did it because they told everyone they weren't trading him. So they played that smartly. I just can't give them full credit because if that was some part of some master plan, they never would have given him that huge contract.
Right. Where's it all going?
So what's really the plan?
So they get two picks in the top half of the first round now, though, right? They get Cleveland's in their own, which I think is, what, number six or something like that. And I don't know. What I find interesting is how many Giants fans have we heard from today? And they're all saying the same things,
right?
They're all saying the same thing. They're happy he's gone. I mean, to me, the Giants did well in this.
Here's Jerry in Chelsea on Freddie Kitchens. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, Michael, what I don't understand is why
all the three of you guys are dumping on this the coach for the Cleveland Browns.
Freddie Kitchens.
I mean, if you were to look up the word tool bag in your dictionary, you would find a picture of the ex-Cleveland Browns coach. And I don't think you guys are even giving him a chance to work with these young people.
No, this is true.
I'm a Patriots fan wholeheartedly, but I don't understand the negativity towards this coach that's in Cleveland.
Okay, I don't like the experience level. It's plain and simple. I mean, you got a team that's slowly becoming ready-made, ready to go. A contending team. It has, starting to build a roster that's as talented as anybody. And you're going to give it to a guy that's never even been a coordinator. He was on an interim basis, but he's never been a full-time coordinator, never mind a head coach. I just hate the profile of that. So I know nothing about Freddie Kitchens. That's putting the two together.
Yeah.
The real name and our name. I don't know a thing about Freddie Kitchens. I don't know a thing about him. So he might be brilliant. That's unfair for me to say. I don't like his appearance.
So I think they went what, 5-2 in their last seven, the Browns? Okay. I didn't even realize that.
So,
I mean, I knew they were playing better at the end of the year. I didn't realize it was 5-2.
And when was Dingleberry fired there? Early, like week two, right?
No, it was early. Like,
week two is a little early, but.
Right after he left, they started winning. Which is perfect.
So look, I mean, is he an upgrade over Hugh Jackson? He can't be any worse. But I'm not comparing him to Hugh Jackson. I'm saying you've got a roster like that. You got a Lamborghini ready to speed out of your garage. And you got a first-year head coach who's never even really been a coordinator.
Freddie Kitchens.
I mean.
That says it all.
I'm sorry.
And
he's kind of like a ruddy-faced Matt Patricia. I'm looking at photos here. I guess I really didn't know what he looked like.
I don't want to fat shame or anything, but it's like.
I mean, we've all ragged on Matt Patricia.
I don't know.
And Bill.
Dial it in. I know Bill's let it go a little bit, but he was fit when he got here. I don't know why. That's unfair. I know. It's unfair. But it's like, I don't know. Tighten it up. Dial in, dude. Are you dialed in?
He looks Cleveland. I guess we'll give him
that. He looks Cleveland. Maybe that's my problem with him. He looks Cleveland.
So, and to the caller, just quickly, what do you mean you can't understand why we're so negative? Like, do you ever listen to the show?
All right,
holy
ding,
crap,
ding.
We're not positive about anything.
Ding, ding, ding. We have reached the 4 o'clock deadline. The ball has dropped. Breaking news as it happens. We'll start with the update here with Big Jim Murray. No commercials. Don't leave your radio right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.